Hello, podcast world. Welcome to episode 120 of Run Chats with Ron Runs NYC. Meet Natalie Dow, best-selling author, ultra runner, and travel lifestyle content creator extraordinaire. We discuss the origin of Run Like a Woman, why it's such an important topic, and the amazing response it has received. Natalie's drive, energy, and upcoming passion projects that fuel her fire. Her why, how she keeps going in ultra and life when things get really hard. Natalie shared great tips on how to start your fitness journey, make small steps, and keep going. Thanks to Natalie for bringing such positive energy. This convo is also on IG Live, hoping you enjoy the watch or the listen. Hello, Natalie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. I'm just waking up and you're over there in the evening time. So I have the coffee and you may have a glass of wine. So
we'll
be rocking different beverages here at this point.
Nice.
Time zones, right?
And it's a long run day for me tomorrow. So it's definitely not wine tonight.
yeah, absolutely. Well, you've got Sydney coming up, right?
This weekend, yes.
Yes. So are you still in Singapore or have you made the trip over to Australia yet?
Not until Thursday night.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see. I understand we got some serious warm weather coming in for Australia. I saw some posts on Insta and Facebook from the Sydney Marathon Foundation warning runners about the conditions and all that stuff, right?
Which makes me laugh because living in Singapore where it's 100% humidity every day and about 90 degrees. It's like, oh, I've never seen a weather warning here. So it'll be fine for all the Asians flying down for it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think you know a lot more about heat and humidity, temperature training than most of us do. And that's one of the things that always cracks me up. I don't know what your take on it is, but man, I just get so tired of people complaining about running in the heat and humidity. Get injured, people, man. Then you'll find out what it's like when you can't run. So just suck it up. Get out there and get the miles in, right? Come on.
Yeah. Complain when it's hot. Complain when it's raining. It's like, yeah, just get on with it. Enjoy being outside.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, we're slowly waking up here in the East Coast and I'm hoping to get some Australia folks in. My good friend Lisa Waitman, Locke and them. It's a little late for them. So she goes to bed early, running all those crazy miles, as you know, as an ultra runner. But hopefully we'll have some of our down under folks joining. And I usually try to wave and converse at the same time and multitasking can always be a little fun. And I see I'm not even in screen here. On the video here, man. So I'm off to a great start. But let's introduce you, first of all. Your book is just like crushing it, Run Like a Woman. So amazing. You got to be like super excited. I think, let me read some of the stats. And they may not be quite as current, but I know it was at one point, it was number one in new releases, number six in bestsellers, number one in women's health, and number one in Moves and Shakers on Amazon, which is just amazing debut. Got to be just incredible. What's it like, man? What are you feeling like?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit surreal and, you know, very thankful that there's been so much support around it. So, you know, it's always been a dream to write a book and this is a good way to do it because I have a co-author as well. So that certainly makes it easier to write one. But, you know, it's been fantastic. The running community's been super supportive and then even beyond that, you know, it's been needed because there's been so many requests for speaking and, you know, people reaching out, wanting to know more. So, you know, it's been quite overwhelming.
Yeah. I mean, it's just got to hit you in the heart, though, you know, to see a response like that because it's your first book, right? I mean, I know you're doing so many other things in the space. I mean, enormously popular and successful content creator, ultra marathon runner, fitness pro. Business strategist. I mean, you're traveling the globe. You're connected to so many powerful, like running brands, doing running retreats, health retreats, all this stuff. But to release a book, you know, you're putting something out there on your own. And that's like a huge step into the unknown. Like, hey, are people going to really like what I'm writing or what my story is about? And, you know, are they, you know, totally engaged? What's the support like? So it's got to feel pretty amazing to take the first step there and then have it be such a huge success.
Yeah, it is. And because I think a book, you know, social media is fine, you can delete a post, but a book's out there forever. So, you know, and it's, and to be vulnerable and to share stories that remain out there was a really nice experience. And then, you know, you're not sure how much to share and how much to hold back. But I think it was a good compromise of fact, and then me talking about my personal things in there, and you know, giving people real information to act on. But yeah, it's you know, it's quite humbling and exciting, and makes me want to write another one now.
Yeah, that's what we want to hear. And I know, I'm sure you must have received a tremendous amount of outreach from people who've either read the book, maybe referred it, recommended it to a daughter, maybe a mom to a daughter, or something like that in the family. For support, and that's got to feel pretty amazing. But like, where did the inspo for the book come from? Like, were you out there on a run one day and just said, hey, it's time? Or were you giving a talk and, you know, this was a conversation that continued to come up? Like, where did it come from?
Yeah, so I'm extremely passionate about women's health and empowering women. And there is such a huge gender gap between women exercising and men exercising still. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And then when Jason, you know, I'd met Jason years and years ago at a conference, and we'd stayed in contact, and, you know, we talked about this idea for the book, and he, you know, he's written many books, so that made it easy for me to say, yes, let's do this. So that was sort of the process, and 6 months later we had it published. So, you know, it's more of a passion project and talking about a subject that maybe is uncomfortable for a lot of people, but is something that affects half the population. And it's, what's been really nice is males have been so supportive of this. So thank you, you being one of them. You know, I think given the chance, men are happy to talk about it. They just maybe don't want to lead with the topic, but if there's an opportunity, then everyone has a, you know, mum, sister, wife, friend, daughter, you know, niece, whoever it is that maybe they just want to know more about, so they can help them.
Yeah, it's an important conversation. And one of the brands, we get involved with different brands on the sporting side, and Inside Tracker supported my running for years. And, you know, the testing that's available now, women's testing, hormones, periods, all the things that they're going through when they're hard training, and you being an ultra marathon runner. So doing more mileage or having strength training on top of those things, cycles in the month, all these things affect, you know, how our bodies are able to perform or not perform, adapt, sleep, all these different things. So if you're not paying attention to all of these other areas and you're not plugging in and really just seeing what's going on, we leave ourselves vulnerable to so many things, i.e. stress fractures, exhaustion, Rett syndrome, all these other terms that you hear people talking about. So how much of the book, since I haven't read it yet, so please, I promise that I'm going to get out there, get a copy. Hopefully you'll send me a signed copy, or we'll get a chance to meet somewhere, which is super fun for me. But yeah, like, talk about some of the specific things that you tackle in the book and how you went about it.
Yeah, so I think, you know, it's been, there hasn't been a lot of education around it, specifically when it comes to running or exercise as well. So it took me so many years to understand when I should be training harder, when I should be easing off. I think we just have this mentality of just suck it up and push through it, you'll be okay. But actually that's not the case. And, you know, you talked about Reds, and there's a chapter in the book on that, because, you know, women are under-fueling and just pushing themselves too much and then getting stress fractures, and it's much more common than what you would expect. So, you know, just to actually understand our bodies and cycles is the first step. And then tracking that, because not a lot of women still track that. So, you know, power is knowledge, and we have to be responsible for ourselves to understand our bodies. And then knowing when to do your long runs, when to, you know, cut back, you know, racing, you know, and I talk about racing in there, and unfortunately it's one of those things that you can't control. But what do we need to do? You know, women burn fat more than men. So, you know, when do we need to take more carbs in to counterbalance that if we're low on energy? So there's a lot in the book, but it's written in a simple way that, you know, my 14-year-old daughter could read it. But there's enough scientific stuff in there to give it credibility. And then at the end, there's some basic training plans to help people out. So if they don't have a coach, then we can guide them through how to get the best out of their running with their cycle.
That's terrific stuff. And this stuff has to start at the early stages because we see, I think social, the great things are people like us get to just meet and we connect and we can be from all different time zones all around the world. And we forge these friendships, connections, we follow each other, we track each other, we root for each other. Yeah. But at the same time, there's also this enormous pressure, particularly for younger kids as athletes, you know, they want to have six packs abs. They want to look a certain way. They think they have to present themselves a certain way. So a lot of this is just aesthetically driven things that are not at all truly healthy or encouraging maybe, let's say, healthy behavior. So writing it for in a younger voice for younger kids and getting them engaged early is so important. And I don't know, you know, what you're doing, you know, on your front over there, but I know you're an expert at marketing, but hopefully, you know, at the younger ages, maybe some running clinics or some sports clinics where you can get ASICS and your other big brands that you're involved with working to get, you know, your book out there to sports teams and youth teams when girls are just getting involved with running so they understand how important this stuff is.
Yeah, and we've been putting the book in library in school libraries here, and I'm giving talks at high schools, which is great. So it's actually, you know, the PE departments reaching out and the coaches reaching out rather than, you know, the sex ed talk that is, which is what, you know, so, almost stock standard, but this time it's actually the sports teams reaching out, as you said, which is really nice to see. So they're valuing it. And even, you know, male coaches at school that maybe don't know how to approach the subject, it's giving them a forum to do that and to have conversations with the girls that they're coaching. So absolutely, you know, starting as young as possible, but also knowing it's never too late. You know, you could be 40 and still have some big goals, but still not understanding why you're not breaking through or performing as well as you could. So this is, you know, arming everyone with the information and the power to do something about it.
Fantastic. Perfect track for us to go for Monday Motivation too, because, hey, you are right. You're never too old. There's no age when somebody should be thinking like, hey, there's this barrier here for me. Everybody gets a start somewhere with running. You know, A, first off, the minute we're upright, whether we're near a beach or in the country or on a farm, wherever, we learn to run a certain way. And running is all part of our lives as kids. And, you know, the more active we are, the healthier we are. The more time we're spending in front of TV screens and tech screens and video games and not being outside in the world, we tend to get sedentary. We get overweight. We're not as active. We're not as healthy. So anything we can do, and this is what your life is about, is getting people off the couch, off the sidelines, and getting them encouraged. So there is no age barrier. You can start today after listening to our chat here. You can start tomorrow. You don't even have to start today. You can say, all right, I'm going to go buy myself some clothes to work out in. But what are some things that you talk about? I know you do retreats and so many other things. What are some things that you try to talk about to encourage people to get active, to get moving, to have an impact on their overall health?
Yeah, I think we're our own worst critics. So, you know, I always say to people, you know, don't worry about what you think you look like if you're going for a run or heading to the gym, because everyone's just looking at themselves. So number one, you know, I think especially for people that haven't exercised for a while, maybe there's some self-confidence issues in there. And the fear of being judged, I think, is something that holds people back. So I, you know, I stand on the start of an ultra race, you know, start line. I am not, you know, 100 pounds. I maybe don't look like an ultra runner because I carry a little bit more muscle. And, you know, people almost dismiss you because you're not the stick skinny ultra runner. But then, you know, the narrative changes, you know, across the line first, and the narrative's changed to, wow, you're so strong, instead of, you know, that preconceived, oh, you have to be thin to win a race. Or young, you know. So I think it's just putting all of that aside. And, you know, I'm a big one for self-responsibility. Like, you have to do it, and you have to find something you love doing. So start small. You don't have to go out and run a marathon today. Just go for that walk, or, you know, walk, run, or grab a friend, have an accountability buddy, and find your community, and start doing something, whatever that is. Run, if it's running, that's fantastic. But if it's something else, then, you know, try something out until you find what it is that you love that's going to give you that healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, those are great tips, because what we always fail to forget is we look at the big mountain, the very, very top of the mountain, instead of saying, hey, forget that. Let's start with getting down to my stop sign. I have a good friend of mine, Greg Mack, in Run Love New York, who, you know, struggled with drinking and a lot of things in his life. And like many who, when they're struggling and they can't figure it out and they can't get it together, in the beginning for him, it was like literally getting to the stop sign, which was at the end of his block. Yeah. And, you know, he was so overweight and he was so unhealthy. And for him, that was a win. And then it became a little bit further than that and a little further than that. And it's amazing how running can change us in every other part of our life, not just that we're running miles. It's not just about our weight and our appearance and what we look like in the mirror. It's how we begin to feel. And more importantly, every single time we tackle it, every time we lace up and put those shoes on, and I talk about it at the end of every one of my shows, keep lacing them up, keep getting out the door, and always stay in the fight. I say it for a reason, because I have to say it to myself. Okay. Everyone says, oh, you're so motivated. Oh, you, yeah, I'm sure people think that about you all the time. I guarantee you, you have to wage those wars with yourself. Let's go, Natalie. Get to the gym and do the fucking weights. Let's go, man. Yes. You got to do this shit. And we all struggle with it, right? But then once we start to make those changes, like my friend Greg did, or maybe you did at some point, and we start to make it our routine, the funny thing happens. The brain kicks in and says, wait a minute, Natalie, we didn't do this today. We're supposed to do this. Instead of like, oh, I have to do this, right? So our mindset starts to change. So in your case, what are some other tips? You know, you tell people, I just know for me, I know once I begin and start down that road again, coming back from an injury, whatever it is, it just gets easier. It's not easy when you start. It's damn hard.
Yeah.
But make progress, right?
You know, I think it's not we have to, we get to, right? We get to do this thing. And my top tip is always to people, especially if they're coming from a really low base and don't know what to do, is just do one thing a week. Just change one thing. So even if it's not running, you're not feeling that, just don't have that can of Coke for lunch. You know, just those small wins that you talked about is key. And once you're in a routine and a rhythm, you know, things that I still do to this day that, you know, I probably don't need to, but it's part of who I am. I get my running clothes out the night before. They're sitting on the bathroom floor, so I don't have to make a decision in the morning. My shoes and socks are ready to go. Everything is ready to go before I go to bed, so there are no barriers to me getting up. I never hit snooze. You know, just little tiny behaviors, because, you know, the discipline is freedom to go and do that then, rather than it you know, you causing yourself problems and questioning why you're doing it. So my podcast is picked out. All of those things are done the night before, and then it's just get up and get out the door. So I think putting those behaviors in, and you talk about motivation, you're like, take a picture every morning against my bathroom wall and post it on my stories. And, you know, the comments I get from thousands of people are, it's great. You know, I see that and it makes me want to get up. And I say to them, I actually, you know, it's great. It's motivating you, but it's keeping me honest. So I do it for me too. It's not to make someone feel bad about themselves or feel guilty. It's to put myself on the line and on the hook to be accountable to everyone as well.
Fantastic. And I can't stress enough how critical those couple little hacks were. And with me, that made all the difference for me when I put the clothes out.
Yeah.
If I tell myself I'm going to go to the Saturday long run, it's one thing. If I tell you I'm going to meet you there, that's starting to add even a little bit more certainty that I'm going to be there. If I tell two people I'm going to go, then it really starts to become almost a certainty. But that was a big change for me, putting that actual outfit out, because I have to actually think about, what am I running in tomorrow? What's tomorrow's weather? How many gels do I need? Am I bringing a handheld bottle? What am I doing? Do I have a towel? Do I have a change of clothes? My wet wipes? Like, I go through the entire thing. And for me, it's not fatiguing. For me, it's like, this is a practice. This has to be done. It's in my bathroom. There's a little section, you know, it's literally like a NASCAR changing section. Man. You know, I got my changing bag for when it's over, but I lay it all out, just like you said. And my dog isn't with me anymore. I lost her during this cycle. I lost her a couple of days before Boston. But, you know, for me, it would be like I didn't want to wake her in the morning. She was an older dog. So, like, I'd want that stuff in the bathroom so I wouldn't be opening drawers yeah. and turning lights on, because sometimes those runs are so early, as you know. And, you know, I wasn't even going to be walking her at that point. I'd be walking her when I get back. Or maybe I'd run her out for 2 minutes and bring her back. We'd have our own routines. Everyone does. But by putting that stuff out, you've increased your chances of enormously that you're actually going to do it versus, okay, I'm not doing it today. You know, oh, I don't have my gym stuff. It's not in the car. I'm at work. I'm seeing a client. I'm supposed to go to the gym, but I don't have anything to swim with today. So that's it, right? Think it through. Those are barriers, but they're really not. If you just put a little thought into it, put a pair of training shoes in your car, put your swim workout gear in there, have a bike outfit if you have somewhere where you're going to go, yeah. whatever your thing is, if it's CrossFit, I don't care what it is. Just think it through, have your stuff, and then your chances of success go way up, right?
Absolutely. And I think another thing, and people, a lot of people have a preconceived idea that to have a coach, you need to be a professional athlete, right? Not the case at all. You know, if you need that extra motivation or you need to feel like you need to be on the hook to someone to get it done, then, you know, invest in having a coach that can guide you through and give you some purpose. I mean, I have a coach, so I know exactly what I'm running every day. I didn't have to think about how far I'm running or what I'm doing. I just do what he tells me to do. Again, taking out all the thought process. So that's another one, especially if you're starting out, you don't know what you're doing, then, you know, it's never too early to get one and have that support, you know, to give ideas and to tell you what you should be doing. And so you don't get injured. You're just not constantly running the same every day. I think, you know, for anyone, consider doing that as well.
Yeah. Also great. Advice again, because so many of us, when we are starting that routine, right? Because it is, that's all it is. It's just one more thing that we're doing. We have to go do X number of things during the course of our day. Well, maybe we get comfortable just going to the neighborhood high school track or something because it's safe. And maybe as a woman, we have to worry about those things versus men, we don't. And not to say that men don't have to have any worries, but it's just not the same. It's a fact of life that women have to be aware of their surroundings and who might be watching them on Strava or some other social tool where they know that Natalie runs in this section every day. You have to be aware of your surroundings and where you're going. But so the routine becomes, okay, I go to the track every day, right? Just as you're saying when you're starting out, or I go here every day, I run my loop every day. Well, so many times when we're doing that, it's a great step. It's a huge win. But then we're also setting ourselves up to not really improve, get healthier, get stronger. And this is just for the folks out there that actually care about performance. There are many of us out there running who don't, and God bless you. I love every one of you just as much as I love Natalie. I love my walkers in the marathon. I love people who walk, run. I love everyone who's out there and being active. I simply don't care if you are just out there to prove to yourself that you can complete and finish something that you started, because you deserve every bit as much credit as Kipchoge, because you're doing the work.
Yeah.
But we don't want to run the same distance every day. We don't want to run the same pace every day. We want to break things up. And whether you're a coach or not, or in Natalie's case, using the coach, or I've used many great coaches, you want to have some variety, run on different surfaces, rotate your shoes, use different gear. It's all important stuff, right? Because we're stressing different parts of our body. And I know you are huge with weight training and strength. Come on, rock star arms. I mean, you know. This is what we're all about, right? So give your pitch on why strength training is so important to balancing what we're doing as runners.
Yeah, you know, I always get, and I know you do too, the question about, oh, how can you not have bad knees? And, you know, I posted on it today because I strength train. You know, I think it's great to you know, run as much as you want to, but if you don't have any muscle to back that up, then, and muscle, you know, protecting what you're doing, then, you know, you are going to get injured and you are, you know, susceptible to other things. And I think people forget about their upper body. As runners, we've got to hold ourselves up. We need a strong core. So it's not just about working out our lower body. You know, we need some good all over body resistance training. It doesn't have to be heavy weights. You don't want to be going and doing ridiculous deadlifts and squats before a long run day. But, you know, do body weight stuff, grab some bands, do something, even if it's, you know, 15 minutes after you've done a shorter run, or, you know, on your off day or whatever it may be, just try and get in those little bits, and they make a huge amount of difference, and they'll make you a stronger, better runner, 100% faster, all of the above. You know, you look at any professional runner and do they do strength and mobility and things? Of course they do. So, you know, running's great, but doing anything too much is not good. It's like eating the same food. Eating too much of the same food is not good. Doing anything of the same is not good. So we do need to have some balance in there.
It's so critical. And, you know, the opposite of balance is imbalance, right? So, and it happens to all of us, whether we're healing an old injury. So our brain is telling us how to land 1% more on one side. And we have no idea this is even happening because it's like 400 Cray supercomputers or more. It's probably more like 4,000. But the calculations that are going on in our brain, which every step that we take, we're just out there looking at our surroundings, right? Or maybe in a race, and we're not sitting there thinking about any of this shit. But meanwhile, our brain is like, how much fuel do I have? Is my brain in a fog because I haven't had enough calories yet? Which is why fueling is so damn important. And we screw it up over and over again. And you, as an ultra runner, we can maybe, you know, get bounce into there a little bit. But if we're not getting enough fuel in, and we're so focused only on losing weight or using running to lose weight, it's just, it's a terrible strategy, because at some point our body is going to get to a weight that it decides is comfortable. And even if you're running 100-mile weeks, you may not lose one single pound. Okay. So you either have to learn to accept that, or maybe put more muscle on and accept that new version of Natalie or Ron, or just realize like, that's not the main reason that you should be out there. Okay. Because at the end of the day, that is not your health. Okay. What that number on a scale says. And I think so many people get, I don't know, taken down by that. Yeah. They let that govern how they're feeling about themselves versus, oh my God, I'm running 40 miles a week. Yeah. I couldn't even run. Like, wow. Focusing on that, you know, as an outcome, as opposed to what a scale says.
Yeah. And, you know, I can proudly say my 14-year-old's never been on a scale. So, yeah, no, it's not something that I believe in or I support. I know there's a time and place for them. But really, you know, everyone wants to look their best, you know, of course, and maybe drop a couple of pounds or whatever. That's great. But, you know, I would hope that people that maybe start running for that reason then find the real reason why they're running, which is because they're falling in love with it. It's making them feel good about themselves. They've got this extra energy. They're joined a new community. So what started off as a weight loss journey is now maybe joined and changed their lives. So I hope that that's what people are getting longer term out of exercise. You know, the initial goal might be weight loss, but over time that, you know, that should change for people. And your fueling is right, because number one, you're not going to perform. And like we said, you're going to get injured if you're not fueling correctly. And you're just going to feel like rubbish. So you're not going to enjoy those runs. You know, they can be hard enough as they are. But if you don't have the energy to complete them, then there's some issues there as well.
Yeah, good stuff. On our long form podcast, when I have a chance to really get deep into it, which is really fun for me, drive is something that always fascinates me. Like, where do people's drive? Where does it come from? In your case, you know, anyone could meet you in any walk of life. They wouldn't have to be on Instagram or social or even know who you were. They would instantly know, like, wow, this person is like got energy. She's fiery. She has drive. Like, you can just feel it. It's so present. Where do you think yours comes from?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I like to be uncomfortable. So for me, it's just about constantly challenging myself, putting myself in uncomfortable situations to test myself physically and mentally. So that's what really drives me. And the other thing that drives me is I'm lucky enough to be able to do this today. I might not be able to do it tomorrow, so I'm going to do it today. So it's really living. I know it sounds a bit cliche, but it's really living in the moment, because while I can do this physical thing, especially, I'm going to go and do it. So you know, it's, and I don't care what I look like, you know, it's like, I'm happy to, it doesn't matter if I'm embarrassed or look a bit stupid doing something. I'm too old to care about that now. So I'm up for anything and giving anything a go.
Awesome. But how about as a kid? Was it forged in sports, a competitive family? Like, you know, that's the real stuff. I mean, obviously, as we get older, how we're driven, what we're motivated by, what we're passionate about could change so many times in our life. But I mean, just as a kid, you know, were you super athletic? Did you have siblings who were mom and dad? Like, what is something in school maybe that shaped it?
Yeah. So I grew up in a very sporty family. I grew up watching my parents play sport. You know, being in Australia growing up, it's pretty non-negotiable. So I was actually a varsity basketball player. So that was my thing, and did running a little bit later. So I think that's a big thing for anyone that has children out there. You know, children don't listen. They mirror behavior. So if they're seeing you exercise, then it's going to hopefully become part of their life, because that's what's normal. So, you know, it was all about, yes, you had to play a team sport and you had to do something individual, because they both teach you different things. So definitely was, you know, competitive growing up, and I'm still a competitive person now. So I think, you know, I got that definitely probably from my father. My brother, you know, has done very well in Kona a couple of times. So he's sort of done the Ironman thing. So yeah, we were definitely a sporting family.
Love it. So were you guys flipping the Monopoly board over if you weren't winning?
Pretty much.
Hell yeah. Yeah. That's literally my favorite thing. Like, I need to know the game situation, like who was cheating in the family, who was stealing the bank money, because, you know, that's what I know when a family is really hyped. Because I know in my family, good Lord, the stuff that was done. I mean, mirrors behind Stratego boards. I mean, literally nothing. And this is how you learn as a kid, man. It's like, okay, my brother's cheating me in this game. No wonder why he beat me 20 times in a row. I'm like, here I am thinking he's just so much smarter than me. I'm like, all right, I see what's up here. This is how we learn, right?
Absolutely. And even now with my husband and daughter, you know, we have competitions every morning, who gets their socks closer to their shoes or whatever it is, just stupid things, but it is a competitive household.
Hell yeah, man. We're forged in the fire. That's where it comes from, man. And you know what? God bless family life and all of it. However the hell we grow up, it just shapes us in so many ways. And just really that imprint on our DNA, it carries through to how you are with your daughter and how she'll be with her family one day. But I know, you know, coaching is something that I have a strong feeling about, and the impact coaches can have, but not only coaches specifically, maybe mentors, because what you've done in your life, you know, even on the business side, business strategy, working with so many brands for so many years, to reach a level like that, somewhere along the way, I feel the people that are that successful, they've always had a mentor. They always had a teacher somewhere along the way that just had an impact on them, that believed in them, really trusted in them, or maybe really encouraged them at a certain young age that had an impact. Did you have somebody like that, Natalie, that really had played an influence for you?
Yeah, I think in my corporate life, I had a couple of people, a male and a female, that I guess pushed me out of my comfort zone and believed in me and gave me a chance. So I think, especially when you're younger and more impressionable, that really does make a difference. And, you know, then you have the confidence to go and try new things. So most definitely from a business point of view, I was lucky enough to find two people who provided that for me at different stages in my career. And then I think when I went out on my own, you know, you just meet inspiring people. And so, you know, like you said, from an energy point of view, you click or you don't with someone, and if their energy is good, then, you know, you want to hear more and you want to meet interesting people. And I think being open to learning from other people is super important, not pretending you know everything, because we certainly don't. But, you know, I'm all up for speaking to interesting people and learning something that I don't know.
Yeah. And also the impact that they leave on you, that teacher, that mentor, that coach, or even groups of people along the way as it changes. It could be an eighth grade teacher that liked your writing or, you know, encouraged your artwork, whatever it might be, or an athletics coach. It makes us want to give that back as we get older, you know, to share our own experiences, to help someone else. And, you know, in your case, you get that opportunity, you know, doing these retreats and talking to groups of people. And it's got to feel pretty damn rewarding, right? To be able to be with a group of people, whether it's a mid-sized group, a really small group that is more intimate, or even a larger group, right? To get a chance to kind of give back in that way.
Yeah. And I think people underestimate their own personal stories. So you might think, well, it's a bit boring, you know, I'm not sure anyone wants to hear, but, you know, there's certain aspects that will appeal to someone in the room. And even if you think it's boring, it could have a huge impact on them. So, you know, I always encourage people to share their stories, big and small, because it could change someone's life for the better. Just, you know, that one sentence could give them the motivation that they need at that time.
Yeah. And people are always watching.
Yes.
Right? They're watching us when we're out there in an ultra race. They're watching us when we ran Tokyo together. Let's get the Tokyo flag going over here. I don't know, it's probably backwards. No, it's actually the right way. Unfortunately, we didn't get to hang in Tokyo. No, that would have been so
fun. I did see you run past at one point. We sort of crossed opposite sides of the road, but that was it. You just with a big grin on your face. Yes. So
ships in the night, man. You know,
yeah.
I mean, when you talk about a gift, and people write about this all the time. So many of us have written posts about this. To be in Tokyo, it's one thing to be in London or an international city that I've been to a lot, or even Berlin, which is now my fourth Berlin. But to be in Tokyo, even it's only my second race. I've been there a couple of times on business as well. And it's maybe my favorite country in the world to visit. I just love Japan. I love the beauty, the culture. But to be out there running a race in Tokyo and people yell, "Go Ron Runs NYC," I guarantee you, you've heard that "Go Rockstorms." Like, I can't even put into words what a feeling that is. I mean, it could make you cry, but you better believe that that would make me light up and smile every single time, because to be somewhere so far away and have anybody encouraging you, yelling your name, be like, "Go, Natalie," like, that's just incredible, man. It's amazing.
It is, and strangers, right, as well. So yeah. I think, you know, I love watching people do races, and, you know, I'll stand there and cheer for them. I love when there's names on bibs, because you can, you know, call out random strangers' names, and you know, you appreciate it. I appreciate it when it happens to us. So you try and give that back to other people, especially, you know, it's not about the people winning then. It's the ones that are really struggling at the end or aren't the champions that I love seeing cross the finish line, because you know what it's taken to get them there.
Yeah. Hell, that's what it's all about. We got to encourage each other. We got to break the barriers down, and we got to bring more people into the sport, whether it's running, ultra, triathlon. I don't care what the sport is. You know, there's always going to be some group that doesn't feel like, hey, this doesn't look like it's for me, or maybe I'm not welcome. And that's our job, man. That's our job. To make those people feel welcome. And when I hear people say, "I can't go to a group run, I'm going to be too slow," or whatever, you know, I try to go to some of those group runs, even when I'm in a cycle, and say, "You know what, for today, I'm going all the way in the back, and I'm going to hang out with everybody that might be is walking a bunch of this thing and running." And, you know, it's a small thing to do. But when you're in a 10 or a 12 or maybe even a 14 or a 16 week cycle, how big of a give is that really for you to maybe make some people feel like, "Oh, wow, I met this person, Natalie, and she just helped me out so much. She answered so many questions for me. She made me feel so comfortable. She was so welcoming." And that's something that we can all do, right?
Yeah. And I think sharing the story that, you know, I feel like that with some of my friends, they're national marathoners. So when they say, "Do you want to go for a run?" it's like, "I'm way too slow to run with you." So it you know, it's at every single level. But actually, they're just happy to run a little bit slower with me and catch up. So, you know, no one escapes that at all. You know, it's from top to bottom. There's always someone faster. And if someone's offering, they're offering because they truly want to. They're not offering for the sake of it. So I encourage, you know, next time anyone watching, you know, that someone says, "Do you want to go for a run?" say yes, you know, and it doesn't matter if you're slow and they're faster, you'll find your speed together and take the pressure off and just go and enjoy it.
Yeah. And for anybody listening who hasn't gone to a group run, or maybe has felt that social pressure, like, "Hey, I don't know anyone, I can't go," I'll just speak a little bit of personal experience. There's a terrific I'm sure you're a big believer in trying to support your local brands. You have your big brands, your national brands that are supporting your own running journey and your fitness journey. But, you know, local brands, you know, and in Sydney, Australia, New York City, or in Singapore, wherever you are, you want to support your local gym, your local running store, whatever it might be. And it's a great group of guys, people who started Bandit Running, which is in Brooklyn. It's over in Greenpoint. And it's just not that easy for me to get to anymore. And I'm not a big Subway person. And they started this whole training with ASICS, by the way, supporting from the sneaker side, where they basically built training programs for anybody doing a fall marathon. So be it Berlin, Chicago, New York, those are the majors, but they're not the only ones. There's plenty of other marathons going on. But the idea was that they could take somebody who didn't have a formal coaching program or maybe necessarily a coach and say, hey, here's a plan for you. 12 weeks, 14 weeks, 16 weeks. There's a strength training component. There's like a nutrition coaching component. There's a bunch of other ancillary benefits. But the main big benefit that I knew right off the bat was it was going to be a group long run every Saturday, going from starting around 12 miles up to 20 plus. And I know their demographic. I know their audience. Everybody's half my age, Natalie. So it's not even, it's automatic. And I was just like, me, this is me, the running maniac. You know, I was always trying to get everybody to come. Let's go, let's go. Let's do it. Let's do a shakeout. I'm like, I had to shake all of those feelings off myself and say, I know I'm going to be 30 or 40 years older than everyone at this run. I don't care. I'm going on a Saturday morning, getting up the crack of dawn, and I'm just going to go. And guess what? Guess what happened? I met all these new people. Sure, a lot of them may have known something about me or maybe heard of me, and I didn't know any of them. And now I know them all. And now I brought some more people to the Bandit runs that maybe weren't going to come. And now they know the Bandit brand. And maybe they're going to buy some Bandit running clothing and get to know some of those other athletes that train in that part of Brooklyn and some of the big running clubs that are over there that are really successful. And, you know, if I could feel uncomfortable, and I'm somebody who's like all about social and connecting, anyone can. So I promise you, if you just put your foot in the water, man, put your toe in the water and take a shot, something good's going to come out. I went 5 weeks in a row. 5 weeks in a row, I dragged my ass out of bed, crazy early, like you're talking about, had all the clothes staged and got out there. And I guarantee you somewhere along the way for you, you had some experience where you were feeling this maybe isn't for me, a group you were going to go speak to, maybe a run. I don't know. Maybe it was a race that you hadn't trained properly for. But at some point, there has to be some place of discomfort, maybe uncomfortable for you, where you like had to step in. Do you have anything you can think of where you went in and just said, hey, wow, this turned out so much better than I could have ever hoped for?
You know, yeah, I think definitely whenever you're going to a new training group, 100%. It's always uncomfortable. You know, I think my first ultra, you know, I was not confident. I'd not ever, you know, I'd done one marathon in the training run. I've never run any distance before. So I think turning up with a group of strangers who've all done this before and being the newbie, you know, is pretty overwhelming. But I think that, you know, going to these things that, what is important to remember is you're all sharing a physical experience which bonds you. And people have all got that shared love of running, or you're all there for the right reason. So people are going to be nice. You know, I haven't really met anyone that's not nice in a running club, I have to say. So, you know, some of my best friends I've met just because we run past each other every day and we finally stopped and talked and, you know, we were strangers. So open yourself up to new experiences, like you were saying, and then this fantastic world and experience can enter.
Beautiful. One of my favorite posts that you wrote was about giving up in an ultra and why you personally don't give up. And it lends itself, you can't really see because I'm too far out of frame here. My screen is close enough so that I can touch the screen or whatever. I'm a little bit too far to frame, but the theme of my podcast is Stay in the Fight. And it stems from my mom, who's just turned 91, God bless. And she's had lymphoma 30 plus years and multiple cancers. And she's this tiny little Irish woman who just can't be stopped. She can't be beat. Nothing difficult in life has ever slowed her down or stopped her spirit or her will. So that's kind of where the genesis of Stay in the Fight was for me, just watching how tough she was and how she just was always there for us and supported every single thing we did. And, you know, her motto, which was why I loved your post so much, was, I just have to keep putting one foot in front of the other. And I got to keep going down the road because it beats the alternative. So no matter what my treatment was that day or what I was facing, and in your post about giving up and why you don't give up, you know, and I probably kind of almost memorized it, but, you know, I felt like there's such synergy between Stay in the Fight and why, that's my why I will never quit. Because that mom, my mom, always got to make her proud. So that's my thing that I can lean into at any point in my toughest point in the race. But for you, you know, you've had some amazing success in ultra. But as you just talked about, at one point, you didn't know what you were doing. It was your first time. So ultra challenges us in different ways. And marathons, you know, they're really hard. Okay, I don't want to make it seem like they're really hard. Okay, they are hard, people. I'm not trying to say they're not hard. But at some point, when you've done so many, you know you can get there. You kind of almost know it. But in an ultra, you never know it, especially as the distances get longer or some of these crazy multi-day stage races and, you know, going through the Alps at 39,000 feet at UTMB. Like, just it's crazy. But, you know, not giving up, okay, staying in the fight, just not quitting. Like, what is that about for you? Like, what do you tap into, you know, in those like toughest moments, the darkest moments when you're out there struggling?
Yeah, and I think, you know, to pretend they're not going to happen is ridiculous, because they will happen. They'll happen them on a 5K run in the morning, you know. So I think you need to be prepared and know that they're going to happen. So embrace it when it does. But I just always remind myself that I chose to be out here to do this. No one's making me do it. This is something I want to do. I put in the work. If I quit, I'm going to really be disappointed in myself, you know, and I can't come back and have that moment again. So do I really want to quit? And is it worth it? I did a 200-kilometer race this year, and I was sort of not in a good way. I'd hurt my hip, and I rang, FaceTime my husband in, and just went, I did not sign up to be, you know, doing this. This isn't it. He's like, just get to the next aid station, knowing that I would hate myself if I didn't finish it. And so I think you've got to have ways to pull yourself out of it. And like you said, remember your why. And mine is, I want to prove that I can do these things. You know, it's great to prove it to other people, but I want to prove it to myself first and foremost. And that's, you know, that's where the challenge lies, and, you know, and be thankful that I get to prove this to myself.
I just saw a bunch of hearts go up as you were saying that. And that made me happy, because I think if you really understand your why, and every one of us, our why could change every single race. It could change every day. Some of us have cancer. Some of us have lymphoma. Some of us don't know if we're going to live another 6 months. Some of us have just been through heartbreak or tragedy or losing a family member. So in this life that we have, this precious life, that we just don't know how long it's going to be. We get a chance. We get to do this is one of my favorite things. We get to do this. We are blessed to do this. And it only takes one injury, just one, to let you know again how vulnerable we can be, that it can be taken away from you. So when you're out there and you're in your darkest damn hole and you want nothing to do with continuing, okay, your hip's hurting, you need to be surrounded by the people like your husband and crew members who not only love you, but they understand you. They understand what makes you tick. Because if they don't, saying the wrong thing in those moments can be just as bad as saying the right thing, right? Because sometimes no words need to be said at all. Just let her be. Let him be. Don't talk at all. Silence, you know, get through a section. Like you said, make it to the next aid station. But isn't it amazing that you could be so physically crushed, so mentally crushed, in tears, maybe sick, throwing up, but then somehow you can move forward and you start to kind of, it's almost like rebirth, right? You're back and you're moving again. And then all of a sudden you're like, holy shit, I'm going to do this thing, right? And like, damn, there's power in that, right?
It is. I mean, and that's the addictive thing, I think, is that feeling of, you know, or going into flow and just going, I'm in this and I'm going to get it done. And, you know, let's worry about everything else later, but I'm present and this is where I am right now and I'm going to finish.
Yeah. And that's great advice for life. Because when we talked about before is looking at the top of the mountain versus us looking right ahead. When we zoom too far out, that's when we get too far over our skis, something bad is almost always going to happen, right? It's like we took our fucking eye off the ball. Oh, shit. Ron's in a ditch. Somebody call a helicopter. Come and get his ass. He's broken again. You got to stay present, man. You nailed it. When we stay present and stop thinking about it, I have 40 more miles to go. That's not going to help anybody. But if you know your next pacer is at, you know, maybe just 10K up the road and if you could just get to them, that helps. Or maybe you have some special food or snack that you've been dying to have, or chicken soup broth that your mom made, or who knows what it is. But it's the small, short-term things that we think about, right? This is Monday motivation. Stop thinking about, I got to make my year-end goal, my sales number, I'm so far right. That's not going to get you to come back. Small steps, small changes. Like if I can make it to here, then I worry about what's beyond the curve, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Bite-sized, you know, little wins along the way. I'm getting to the next lamp. I'm counting 10 lampposts and that's what's next. Or like you said, the food thing, especially in ultras, can be a motivator that you're like, oh, my drop bag's there. I know what's in there. I'm dying to eat something. So, yeah, it's just those simple things that keep us going rather than making it so complicated. And that's the same in everyday life. Just like you said, walk down to the stop sign or you know, just 10 minutes, just go and do 10 minutes and that's it, and then go home. So keeping it simple is key. We try and overcomplicate things way too often.
Yeah, simple, stupid, always, right? So you are one of the busiest people I know. I like busy people. I like people who have a lot on their plate because it just keeps me inspired to stay busy and keep a lot on my calendar and have a long-term view of everything, but also have a lot of things in the short term because it just gives me a reason to get up every day and have the fire going. So for you, you always have a full slate, but what are some things that are coming up that are exciting that have the juices flowing for you?
Yeah, I mean, I've just come back from a women's retreat with ASICS last week in Thailand, which was fantastic. And there's going to be a lot of follow on around gender gap and closing that, which is super exciting work I'll be doing with them. Sydney Marathon this weekend. So, you know, I lived there 20 years ago and I'm excited to run around the city as they try and become the seventh major. So that'll be great. Another ultra or so for the rest of the year. It's been a lot of racing for me this year, so more than what I normally do, maybe. I've got another retreat in Thailand in 2 weeks. So there's some great things coming up, and then it's thinking about what next and what am I doing with my story for next year and what's going to challenge me. And like I said, I don't like doing same. So I think maybe do something a bit crazy next year, a big long run across countries and raise some money for kids in sport or something and document it. So I'm sort of planning that out at the moment to see what that looks like.
That sounds exciting. All the other stuff sounded pretty exciting, but that sounded exciting.
Yes.
Plus your eyes twinkled a little. So I always looked at the little cues. So that's got the juices going for sure. We're definitely going to have you come back on and talk about that and help, because that's what it's all about. And spread the word, share the links. We can't raise money. We can't impact causes. We can't do anything without people sharing the story and the journey. It doesn't work. And so even when we don't have money, I hear people talk about this stuff all the time. You have no idea how your share, one share, into Instagram stories, to Facebook or some other place, share, forget internet, call someone, tell someone, hey, my friend Natalie is doing this. Maybe you could encourage one person to come out there and run some miles with you. Maybe that person happens to be a really wealthy investor and says, oh my God, I'm going to underwrite this thing, or I'm going to match however much money is raised. We really lose sight sometimes instead of just thinking, oh, I can't help Natalie because I don't have any money, or I can't help Ron in this fundraising initiative, but we can always help. There's always a way, because if the impact of what you're trying to do is for a good cause, that's where we got to roll up our sleeves and just figure out how can we get more people involved.
Yeah, that's right. Or it inspires someone to go and give their time in their local community and give back that way if they can't give a monetary donation. So whatever works, if it's doing good somewhere in the world, then I'm a big advocate for that. And if it's, you know, inspiring someone to move and whatever that means to them and be healthy and taking that first step, then that's my goal as well.
Yeah. And every time we read about some other new cool thing like this, it gets the juices flowing for all of us. Oh, I like this idea. Maybe I could do something like this, or maybe I could partner and do something along these lines, because there's just opportunities out there, and there's groups that need help. There's always causes that are going to be dear to us. And if you think about it enough, there's always a way that we could engage. And it doesn't always have to be about running or fitness. Maybe it's just volunteering our time. And just giving back in that way in the community, volunteering, Girls on the Run, all these amazing associations that exist out there that didn't exist, you know, 20, 30 years ago, where we have the opportunity where we can give back and mentor or help, bring somebody into a sport, get them involved with running. And who cares if they want to run for their high school or college team? Yeah. It's about self-confidence. It's about being with other people and not being alone, connecting with others and doing something that's healthy.
Absolutely. Yeah. And and like you said, if it changes one person's life for the better, then all the effort is worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, I got my Rue over here from Lisa and Locke. I got my buddy over here. So, you know, he's not going to throw any punches right now, but I always put the US flag in his hand just to, you know, tweak it a little and have some fun, because you know, the two of those they're jokesters through and through. But I don't know if Lisa and Locke ended up being on, because it's very hard to look at you and talk to you and look at the screen. And, you know, there's just so many things to distract us, right? Like, I usually try to wave to everybody, but sometimes if I push the button, I'm afraid I'm going to turn the recording off.
Yeah, I'm touching nothing.
Yeah. Nothing. There'll be no waving today. So here's a wave to everyone. And listen, thank you, man. We've had a good group, but so anyway, Natalie, it's been so much fun. Do you have anything for me or anything for us? Maybe like a last closing thought or two, because it's been so fun chatting with you, getting to know you a little bit. And I can't wait till we can hang out at a race together. We're going to have such a good time.
Yeah, no, I just think for you know, everyone out there, just go and be your best, do your best and have fun. You know, we're not going to the Olympics. You know, think about why you're doing this. Just try and motivate others to join you, because there's power in numbers. You know, I think if you do something this week, you know, try and influence someone for the better. I think that's key. And yeah, and have fun. That's the most important thing.
Yeah. Yeah. If we're not having fun, man, we're not doing it right.
We're not saving lives. So just, you know, don't take yourself too seriously. You know, train hard, but enjoy the process.
Yeah, have fun, man. It's going to be great. Well, listen, man, have a great race down at Sydney. I'm sure that's got to be really cool for you. You know, you spent a big chunk of your life there. So, you know, kind of going back home in a way, it's got to be amazing. And you probably still have a lot of close friends in that part of the world. That you'll get a chance to hook up with and connect with. And I'm sure you'll probably be doing some stuff for ASICS and all, but it's exciting. You know, like I hope they get it in the end as the seventh major. But, you know, I know Singapore was in there, and, you know, Chengdu was in there, and I know South Africa's in there.
Yeah.
So who knows how it's going to shake out. I have a feeling it's going to be Sydney, though, but we'll see.
I do too. Yeah, that's where my money is if I'm going to bet.
Yeah.
It'll be great, a great opportunity. I'm not actually marathon fit at the moment, but I'm just going to go down and have a good time.
Yeah, I promise you, we're not worried about what time you run, man. We want to see some good pics. Get the camera out, man. Get some run selfies out on the course, man. You know I'm going to be rocking my camera during Berlin. I'm going to be getting all the shots, man. Yeah. So It's so funny how COVID changed that, because the thought of running with a phone in a marathon race, and a race that I trained hard for, what I would have thought, you know, this is insane. This is like the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And then the first year London had the racing back after COVID, and it was the age group world championships. They were like, you have to have a phone on you to show your COVID stuff, or you're going to have to bring a piece of paper to the starting line. I'm like, bring a piece of paper, I'll like lose it. And they won't let me run. I'm like, I'm taking my phone. So it's so funny how that changed it.
And Tokyo as well. Did you run with your phone in Tokyo? Yeah, I did too. Yes.
It was the best. Yeah, okay, you said people are running by saying hi, or people are running up to me going, hey, what's up, dude? I'm like, all right, let's go. Selfie done. Let's go.
Yes.
It's the best, man. It's so much fun. And, you know, my PR days are over, so why not get some PR shots,
you know,
while we're out there to you know, memorialize the moments, man, for sure. But it's been so much fun, Natalie. This is great. And for everybody, this will obviously stay up on IG Live. It'll stay up on my page, and it'll hopefully be on your page as well. And I will push it out as a podcast maybe a couple weeks after. So anybody on the audio journey who wants to take a listen, you'll get a chance to hear Natalie's words today, which are awesome. And man, you know, we'll put a link up for your book for sure. Get it out there. Run Like a Woman is crushing it. And if you're not already following Natalie, that's like kind of comical. I mean, 500,000 strong and crushing it every day, giving out positive messages for us to work with every single day and keep us motivated. So appreciate your time. Thank you so much for coming on with me, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor and great to connect and chat. A nice way to start a Monday.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, you have a glass of wine for me.
Yeah.
It's that time of the day for you. And I'm going to have a second cup of coffee. But everybody who was listening at some point today, we appreciate you all very much. And listen, it's Monday. Get after it, people, man. No excuses. It's time to start the week strong. Get out to keep lacing them up. Keep getting out the door. Always remember to stay in the fight. Peace out, everybody. Natalie, take care. Have a great race in Sydney.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Wow, what an honor to get Natalie on the show. She's just such a super positive force with the most wonderful energy. And unfortunately, we didn't get to meet up together in Tokyo. We were both there running and just our paths didn't cross. And this was a fun opportunity for me to have her on IG Live and talk about a book that's just absolutely crushing it, Run Like a Woman. Her energy is so super positive and just love following her page. The insights and information she shares with her audience, just wonderful. And she's just on so many different channels, radio, podcasts, and doing things in person as well. So again, so grateful, Natalie, for coming on and sharing some time with me and you know, getting this out to the Run Chats audience as well. It's available on IG Live if you want to watch it. So wonderful opportunity. Hopefully our paths cross again and we get to be at the same race somewhere. Maybe we could sit down for a little bit longer form chat. But hope this one inspires you, gets the juices flowing. And as we say at the end of every episode, keep lacing them up, my friends. Keep getting out the door. And always remember to stay in the fight. Hope to see a bunch of you out there in Chicago real soon. Peace out, my friends.